We're starting Sefer Midot. We are up to page Shin Chaf Dalid. Shin Chaf Dalid. Umeavatchat mamtiachah shog malcha kol tuv karui lcha leov to b'chol levavcha. If one can connect to the concept that the Creator has granted him so much good, so then it's fitting to love him and to love him with all of one's heart. Timshoch avatcha oto leov gam neavim vanimim asher lo. Hasridim bam tofsei haTorah. Toda rabah. And then it seems natural to also love those that are the remnants who really hold on to the Torah. Shomrei mishmeret hakodesh v'chol beit Yisrael bichlal. Kal kulam chut shechen v'chesed mashuch aleihem ba'avato v'chemlato. V'ikarim em etzlo ki ishon eino. He says a Hasidic concept, even though the Magid Midovna wasn't a Hasid. But the truth is that this concept predates Hasidut. If you really love Hashem, then it follows that you should love His people. It's not only the sages, it's not only the learned, but a person who loves Hashem should really love His people, because Hashem cherishes every Jew. Hashem cherishes a Jew. He uses a borrowed term. He says, just as a person cherishes his eye, the pupil of his eye, you'll notice that whenever something's headed towards your eye, you don't even think about it. You blink. You pick up your hands. So whenever we want to say that someone cherishes something very much, we say ki'ishon, like the dark part of the eye. Asher behem bachar eliyot lolam sgula. God chose the people of Israel to be His chosen nation. Uvehem yitpeer. Hashem takes pride in the Jewish people. V'chol nefesh mi'Yisrael nehav lo modad en cheker. It's beyond our comprehension, it's beyond what we can define, the amount of love that Hashem has for every single Jew. It's much more than a person loves his own son. Food for thought. Because in fact, there is extraordinary kindness in this nature, this phenomena that we actually take for granted, that a father will love his son. If you ask a person logically, why do you love your son? What logical answer is there? It's part of our nature. Hashem created us so. So that's an act of kindness, that our nature is such. And this is out of God's love for humanity that God created this nature. Because if a person grows up without anyone's love, without anyone caring for them, then a person wallows in evil. It's an evil life for a person to grow up without love. Uvaklal hazeh lehov gam hapchutim b'nei hash'arato. So encompassed in this idea that one who loves the Creator will love his people is also to love those which are the dregs of society. You look at them and no one looks at them. And they too should be loved. And a person looks at them sometimes and says, they're not important. They have no chain, they have nothing, no charm, and they have nothing they can offer me. But it doesn't work that way. Because obviously, in the world God created, they do have an important role. Im ken ra'ui lehov gam otam. So then it's fitting to love them as well. And as such, one should give honor, glory to every man of Israel, as the Holy One, blessed be He, commanded. The Magid Midovna is concluding a large section on arrogance, and he concludes it with a piece on love. Why? He is revealing to us, in fact, a concept he repeatedly alluded to throughout this section, that one of the great obstacles to true love is arrogance. When a person wants to love someone else, well then he has to be open to that other person. And when a person is too focused on himself, so then it's very hard to be open to that person. It's very hard to create a relationship when there is arrogance. And so the Magid Midovna, in fact, in concluding the section with this piece on love, is really revealing to us one of the greatest tragedies, one of the greatest ills of arrogance. A person who is arrogant has issues with himself, but those issues get in the way of forming a real relationship with someone else as well. It's not only the idea he had said earlier that other people have difficulty connecting with him when he is arrogant. A person himself has difficulty connecting with other people due to his arrogance. And so the Magen Midovna says, if we can diminish our ego, if we can maintain a healthy ego, then there's room for the Creator, there's room for a relationship with the Creator, there's room for an appreciation that every creature has importance. And in fact, throughout this piece, he's repeatedly alluding to a famous story that's quoted in Avos Rabbi Nosson and other places about Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, who had just concluded learning a large period of time. He had a tremendous success, and he was on his way back, and he was riding on a horse on the beach. And as he's riding on the beach, taking in the air, taking in the sights, taking in that great feeling after his great investment in learning, he sees someone. He doesn't realize it. God sent Eliyahu HaNavi to take him off his high horse, figuratively. And Eliyahu shows up to him looking totally deranged and disgusting. And he is shocked. He looks aghastly at this creature, this human being. And he says, and the human being, or at least what he thinks is this person, approaches him simply, and he says, "Does everyone from your town look like you?" To which this person replies, "Go tell the one who fashioned me that you disapprove of the way he fashioned me." In other words, God made me this way. You have issues with it? Go talk to him. Your issue isn't with me. Your issue is with him. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon gets off his horse and he says, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have spoken that way. Forgive me." And he says, "No. No, I'll forgive you after you go to the one who created me this way and tell him that you disapprove of the creature he created." And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me." And he says, "No, you go to the Creator and tell him you disapprove." And he pleads and he refuses. Now we know behind the scenes, we know from Avos Rabbi Nosson that this was none other, from Tanat Be'Elio, that this was none other than Elio in disguise, and he came to teach him a lesson. Well, the continuation of the journey, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is walking, and this guy is walking behind him, cursing him out as he goes. And finally they reach town, and the whole town has come out to greet the rabbi who's coming. And here's this deranged human being walking behind him, cursing him. And they all say, "Welcome, Rabbi." And he says, "He's a rabbi? Nah. What are you calling him a rabbi for?" So they tell him, "What do you mean? He is a rabbi. He's very learned." So he says, "If he's a rabbi, we shouldn't have too many rabbis." So they tell him, what happened? Why are you so upset at him?" So he tells him over the whole story. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, "It's true. I spoke improperly, and I've begged him for forgiveness, and he refuses." And the people all started asking this person, "Please forgive him." And he said, "I'm willing to forgive him on the condition that he doesn't do this again. He shouldn't do this often. This type of flippant remark, this isn't acceptable." And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon was then asked to give a speech. He got up on the podium and gave the following speech. He said, "Le'olam yehi adam rach kakane. A person should always be soft like a reed. V'alyi kashe ka'erez. A person shouldn't be stiff like the cedar tree. Because the cedar tree is tall and proud, but with his stiffness, if a wind comes, if it's strong enough, it'll knock him over. Whereas the reed, well, the reed, it bends this way, it bends that way. It's more flexible, and all the winds in the world can't pull it out, and all the waters in the world can't pull it out. And ultimately, you take a reed to write a Sefer Torah. You don't take a cedar tree."
So he was talking about himself. He said, you know, I was too tough. I was arrogant. The Magen Midubna over here is telling us, if God created someone this way, then there's a reason, and we have to value them. Sometimes you meet someone whose intelligence is lacking. It's difficult, but it's not their fault. They say that the Chafetz Chaim used to stand up for retarded people. When someone would come in who was handicapped intellectually, so then the Chafetz Chaim would stand up for them. He'd say, this is obviously a person that's almost finished their task in this world. So God gave them another run in the world without having too many expectations of them because they weren't given the intelligence. So obviously this is a soul that's almost perfect. And so God didn't give it a chance to mess up. God didn't give it the tools to accomplish too much because it doesn't have almost anything left to accomplish. This soul is almost done with its job in this world. The Chafetz Chaim would say this is a tzaddik. So the Magen Midubna is saying part of overcoming arrogance is making room for Hashem in our lives, and then one can develop the love for Hashem, the love for Hashem's creatures, even those that are less than intelligent. And he concludes and says, we already know, the prophet Malachi, the final prophet, says, Ahavti etchem amar Hashem. God says to the Jewish people, I love you. You notice, God doesn't say, I love the ones in Machon Meir, I love the ones who will vote tomorrow A or B or C. He doesn't say that. He says a general term. All of Israel, et kulam yav al mishkal echad. We're all united in this. In one weight, we all get Hashem's love. So how could a person say, yeah, I love this guy, but I can't stand that guy? Or a person says, well, I love me. So I can put other people down, so I work my way up. And the Magen Midubna concludes his section on arrogance. He says, remember what we've discussed, review it, and this should be a source of life for your soul. And with that, we conclude the whole section and the chapter on arrogance.